What's up, internet friends, and welcome to another episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club. I'm your host, Kevin Garaventa, aka the Portland Kevin, and this is a show where we pick one game from the PlayStation Plus library and break it down for your entertainment, information, and amusement. We just finished playing Proteus, a game that's only a few years old, but looks and feels like it could have competed with Doom and Wolfenstein in the 90s. After a crowdfunding campaign by the developer Bounding Box in 2019, an early access version was released on November 9th in 2020, and the full game was published by Humble Games on all platforms in September of 2022. What Bounding Box promised and delivered was a throwback shooter that referenced those pioneering games with purposefully placed pixelated textures, low frame rate animations, and cardboard cutout objects. So joining me for this throwback is a returning host from the Trophy Talk podcast, Josh Damaris. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. I had another one of your hosts on here earlier, Daryl, and I thought, you know, I need to reach out to Josh and have him back because that would be a lot of fun. I sent you a list of games and you threw out a couple that you were interested in. Proteus was one of them. And as soon as you said that, I said to myself, you know what? I really got to reach out to somebody else I know who loves shooters like this. And that other returning host from the Trophy Talk podcast is Colin Colhoven. How you doing, sir?
Well, hello, hello, guys. How you doing this evening? Nice to be chatting with you.
It's great to be chatting with you. It's great to have you both back.
Of course. Thank you for having both of us
back, Colin.
Thanks. I had a great time doing Shadow of the Colossus earlier this year together.
That was
happy to be back.
That was a great episode. That was one of my favorite episodes. Little follow-up to that, about an hour after we recorded, I already regretted my order of favorite Colossus in there. So, you know, it changes every day, every time I think about it. But, you know, that was a great episode. Yeah. Go back and listen to it. It was so much fun.
I think we said as much in the recording, too, if I recall, that these orders could change. I mean, you definitely said that.
Yeah.
I might not have, but I recall you being a little more, they're fluid.
You know, yeah.
Just like my Resident Evil rankings, they're fluid. It happens.
Yeah. But before we jump into this month's game, Proteus, I do want to talk to you guys and have you guys plug your own projects. You're both on the Trophy Talk podcast. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Colin?
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. So we are both, Josh and I are both hosts on the Trophy Talk podcast, along with Daryl Fuimano, our third chair. And we have been doing the show, us three, that permutation together for a little over a year. And I think at this point, right, Josh?
I've been on a little over a year. Yes.
Correct. Okay.
It was, you guys brought me on. It would have been fall of 2023.
That's what I thought.
November. So yeah, we're coming up on my 1 year anniversary.
Yeah, and the show as a whole has been going for almost 4 years now. We're on a little over 100 and some change episodes. But yeah, we talk about all things trophy hunting. So we do list reviews and what we've been playing. We alternate between those two with two episodes coming out a month. And it's a ton of fun. We've had you on there as a guest, Kevin, which has been great. And we have a really nice community. So thanks for letting us shout that out.
Yeah.
Well, go and listen if you like trophies.
Yeah. You know, thanks for, you know, having me on the show. You know, it's great to just, you know, trade shows back and forth. It's so much fun to just collaborate on all that. And you guys have another project that you just started a few months ago.
That's right. We do. The other project has very little to do with trophies, which is a nice change of pace. And this is a monthly show called Surviving the Horror, where Josh and I play through survival horror games, or maybe not survival horror games. We kind of pick different titles from different generations. It opens up what we can play beyond just the PlayStation sphere, which is really fun. So it's been great. We're on episode 5. We just did Operation Raccoon City, everybody's favorite Resident Evil game. And I definitely have a lot more respect for it after having done the episode. So it was a ton of fun. So go and check that out if you're interested. Thanks for letting us shout it out again.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, that episode also lots of fun. I love the whole premise of the show, and I can't wait for every monthly episode to come out. But yeah, Josh, is there anything else that you'd like to plug?
I mean, Colin hit it all. That's kind of everything I am a part of. I guess I will plug our community. I don't know if we touched that.
Mm-hmm.
Like most podcasts or shows, we do have a Discord. It's a great place, a very friendly place. We run competitions on there. I mean, we talk about movies, video games, Xbox, Nintendo, PlayStation, you name it. We're talking video games. A lot of my close friends are on there, and I've never even met them. I've grown pretty close to a lot of people on there. So if you're listening to the show, I welcome you to come find us, search Trophy Talk Podcast on the SoundCloud or on Google. And then through our SoundCloud page, you will find a link to our Discord. Even if you don't like trophy hunting, if you just want to hang out and talk nerd stuff and video games, like, we're here for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to second that. Like, it is a great Discord community on there. Like, I think it is the one that I check the most often, just to see what's happening, what people are talking about. So highly recommend joining it. It is a lot of fun to just hang out with you guys on there. But if you enjoy this episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club and want to hear more like it, please like and subscribe to the show wherever you're listening. It really helps the show show up in more recommended feeds, algorithms, and other podcast programs. And if you want to be part of an episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club, you can send in an email to psplusgameclub@gmail.com or find our Discord channel to write and talk about it there. You can just search for PS Plus Game Club or PlayStation Plus Game Club. And with that little bit of housekeeping out of the way, we should jump into Proteus. That is the battle cry that you hear when like I imagine the character screaming, because this is the kind of game that I like think about that I like saw in the 90s that like I would get in trouble for playing when I would sneak a play session over at my neighbor's house and then my mom would find out about it and yell at me.
Yeah,
you know,
this game is like the nostalgia overload there. We talk about games with the rose-tinted glasses. This game is a perfect example of it, because when I was playing this game, I thought to myself, oh, this is what like I remember Doom looking like. And I know Doom, the original Doom, doesn't look like this at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a really great way to put it from both of you, actually. It is one of those games I would have not been able to play as a child. And when I first started playing this, I was like, oh, it's Doom. Well, we'll break that down more, of course, but yeah.
This essentially is a what they referred to as Doom clones. Like shortly after Doom came out, they would just call any shooter that they came out a Doom clone. And this really does feel like a Doom clone in quotes, where they've taken what made Doom Doom, where you're just running around in a really fast pace and shooting everything in sight. And there's barely any story to this game. Like the story that we'll get into later, it very briefly, but there's a very basic premise where you're just killing monsters and aliens. That's it. That's all you need to know. But
rip and tear until it is done.
And then like there's the particular style that they went for in this is like, yes, this game was made a couple of years ago, but it's made to look like it came out in the 90s. And I love that particularly. That's what really caught my attention when I thought about playing this. So as far as like the style and presentation goes, like how would you describe that?
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. It looks like it came out in the 90s, or what we perceive what games looked like came out in the 90s.
Yeah.
Now I'm not very good at like describing design, so I'm going to do my best. It's very much a boomer shooter. You kind of called it a Doom clone. I know they're also called boomer shooters. I don't know. It's such an amazing art style where it looks old school, but it also looks fresh and new, and it looks really stylish.
Yeah.
I think one of the first things that stuck out to me was items on the ground. As you move around them, there's like I really don't know how to describe this. Like if there's a dead body on the ground, you would walk around it about 30 degrees before you would see that asset on the ground actually like change a direction.
Yeah.
So it's like really chunky flips, and that's almost verbatim what the old school first person shooters did.
Yeah. Or they would just, they wouldn't move at all, and they just rotate with your vision as you looked at it. But like with this one, they would change. And so the first few times I saw it, I thought there were like bodies that were moving. And I was like, oh, he's getting back up or something. But, you know, no, it's just that they have different asset angles for you to look at. But there are so few of them that it looks really old because things change. And related to that, I noticed that like the most striking thing for me were the particular animations that went into this game. Like the enemies animate at a very low frame rate. And that's what they look like in the original Doom. And the reload animations for your weapons, they have a very low frame rate too. And so it looks like this is a really old game in that you're like hitting the reload and then there are only a few like frames of animation that show what that reload looks like. But they've painstakingly made every one of those look really cool and different. It's not like in GoldenEye where your weapon just dips down and then dips back up as a reload animation. It does, you know, something very specific.
Yeah.
The low frames is, I think, a perfect way to describe that and exactly what they're doing. It's almost like playing a trick on you. Or maybe not really playing a trick on you. That's just how things were back then. I think it's very off-putting and jarring, or not off-putting, but very jarring. And what I really liked about the game is all of that stuff is very low frame rate. And then the blood and the guts and the gore is like, I'm pretty sure it's like a solid C, so everything's really slow.
And
then you blow the face off of something and the blood just splatters out. But sorry, Colin, hopefully you weren't going to say that.
No, that's a great point as well. I was also going to echo just the frame rate thing. I hadn't even really noticed it, I must admit, when I was playing the game, but hearing you say that, I'm like, oh yeah, that's definitely what they were doing. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I played Warhammer Bolt Gun DLC earlier this year, and I've played Star Wars Dark Forces Remastered, and I played Wolf 3D. So it's so interesting to look at this game in comparison to those, most of which are actually quite old. This goes the Warhammer route, and I think they did the same tactic where they slow down certain animations, but give you other movement styles and stuff in the game that make it feel really, really fast. So you juxtapose those two things together, and it's this really nice feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah, because like your movement and the shooting itself is still at like 60 frames per second. So you don't ever feel like you're lagging behind something or like you're not able to play it at its best. But still, like, there's very deliberate points where they added like this low tech kind of look to it. And that also happens with like the texture details where they're very low resolution textures just blown up. And so when the blood goes flying, it's just very, very pixelated blood and it's everywhere, but it's still, it looks low tech.
There's ectoplasm all over the place or blood explosions. It's nuts. But you're right about the detail too, though. To me, like to your first question, just to quickly add it, I felt like the visual aesthetic of the game was if you basically took Doom 3 and Doom 2016 and combined them and then put a 64-bit filter on it.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty much how it felt. A lot of the ways that it, like the hallways were designed, the buildings, like it's very Doom 3 in that way, but then there's bits of 2016 too when you get to the open spaces, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, because there are enemies everywhere. And that's what reminds me of like Doom 2, where they just like they took what was really cool about Doom and they just said, let's throw tons of enemies at once at the player and just overwhelm them. And that's what I love. The differences between like this and that old style of Doom, though, is one that I noticed was that they do add in some of the additional like things that you would miss if you were to play the old Doom right after this. And like one of those, of course, is like being able to aim vertically, you know, like in Doom, you can't do that.
Right.
So like they haven't, or jump. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Sprint. Totally. Sprint is another one, but like they haven't really deliberately like taken away some things that you really find useful in modern shooters like Doom, like the current one, like Doom Eternal, which I just finished playing right before I started Proteus. And I felt man, this feels just like Doom Eternal, just that like you're running as fast as that one. And jumping and double jumping, and it feels exactly like a follow-up to Doom Eternal, which came out in 2020 and is like the most beautiful shooter out there right now.
Oh, that's amazing.
But you know, as far as like the graphical presentation goes, I think we've said a lot, but we haven't mentioned the music. The music they chose for this, I don't know, I kind of feel like it was a little generic when it came to like an action shooter. Colin, you had mentioned one thing about like how the music like they did a little too much with it. And like, yeah. You want to elaborate on that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and this could be a hot take, right? First of all, Mick Gordon, composer for Doom 2016, Doom Eternal, those soundtracks are amazing. But
yeah,
I just have to say that as coming from playing the older stuff to now, you can just, the language is muddied is probably the best way that I would describe it. So in the older games, you would be doing actions on the level, shooting monsters, exploring. The sound effects were so distinct and different from the soundtrack that you could always tell, like, okay, that thing I heard is a monster over here, or that thing I heard is this door opening, or me reloading my gun, whatever, right? In newer shooters, I feel like the newer Dooms, and Proteus does this as well, the music is so metal that the soundscape starts to mix together. And so you can't tell if it's like, that's a crescendo in the song, or I just blew something up, or there's an enemy screaming behind me. Like, you don't know what it is. It's just fucking loud,
yeah,
and in your face, you know, which is pretty cool, yeah. But it's also, it's confusing sometimes. That might be an old person thing.
Yeah, that's war,
you know?
Look, if you're worried about like whether or not there's an enemy behind you from the music, you know, you just got to start running faster. That's all. No, don't worry about that.
Pretty much. If you're standing still, you're doing something wrong in this game.
Yeah, for sure. But like after a while, I just like most of the time, I didn't really notice the music. And also, I did notice, however, that every once in a while when enemies show up, like they spawn in or teleport in, and the music will like kick in and, you know, change up because there are now enemies that you have to deal with. But if they're not around, then it kind of slows back down and plays a different audio track, and it fades them back and forth. But there were a couple of times where I'd be playing and I'd like kind of the ambient music that I was listening to, and then five enemies would show up and the music would change. And I'd be like, well, oh, okay, well, I'll take care of them. And it kind of got annoying because there would be like five enemies, quickly dispatch them, and then the music returns that I liked, and then 5 seconds later, more enemies show up and the music changes back to the high tempo stuff. And I was like, you know what? This is kind of jarring. Just pick one. Damn it. Just go with one. So
I agree entirely. Yeah. Like, I do appreciate the design choice of, you can tell if the fight is over because the music slows down. You're never guessing in that sense. But the confusion I was talking about is during the fights, hectic moments when you're running around, you're like, what is happening in my ears right now? But I the last thing I'd say about it is it did have moments where it kind of broke, because you would have enemies spawn on the other side of a wall or underneath you, for example. You're not actively fighting them. You're going to get to them at some point later in the level. But the music would not, it would cue as if they were in the room with you.
Yeah.
Like sometimes the game didn't quite understand what was going on. But this is just a little observation.
Yeah, the music kind of spoils the surprise of, you know, them popping out from behind the corner or whatever. But
right.
It still like kept the tempo of the gameplay going, which I appreciated. It's just that every once in a while it would break. As far as the gameplay goes, though, it's very simple. It's just shoot everything that you can. And there's no rescuing hostages or scientists, or there's no like setting off a switch that will like escort like some sort of payload somewhere. It's just like get from point A to point B and find the red key, which then unlocks the room that gets you the blue key, and then find like unlocks the blue door that gets you the green key, and so on and so forth. But it's very simple.
Right.
And they also like included the level designer here in the game itself for you to make your own custom levels. And so if you're playing it on PC, you pretty much have the exact same tools that they use to make the entire game. And some of those levels really do feel like they are Doom just modded in with fan-made creations. Some are more innovative than others, and also some of them don't feel like they've been tested that well. So,
yeah. I'm sure they have not.
There was one in the fourth level. I don't remember what the name was, but there was a jump that you had to make from one column to another, and I would spend like 10 minutes on it, and I replayed the level like three times to try and find more ore to then buy upgrades in the shop. But I would like go for that jump and then not make it and then have to come back. And I eventually figured out like, oh, I have to like, when I land close to this column, I have to like jump again to try and get my footing as I'm sliding down the side of it and then jump up onto it. And then like three levels later, I figured out, oh, there's an auto sprint that I haven't been using. And so I turned that on and I just started flying through the levels, and I would clear that jump without having to land on the second column. And I was like, damn it, why didn't the game tell me this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I definitely turned on the auto sprint, Josh. Did you do the same?
I didn't know auto sprint was ever there.
Oh, my gosh.
How did you?
It's so helpful. Oh, man. It is so helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially for like finding some of those secrets where like, I look at this gap and I'm like, how am I going to clear this massive gap with a jump? And, you know, the auto sprint automatically just throws you across the canyon or whatever. So
yeah,
it was really cool. But another note about the gameplay is just your selectable difficulty level. There are like seven different difficulty levels here. It's amazing how minute they can get. And you could turn it all the way down to like super easy and pretty much be like on God mode and not get killed. Or you could turn it up to super hard and try and finish a level that feels impossible. What level did you guys play at? Like, Colin, I'll ask you first.
So I played on medium.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty standard. I typically approach games on medium. In my younger days, I would have played on hard probably. But yeah. I played on medium and I really enjoyed it. I can honestly say I didn't turn it down at any point. You have to do a level on ultra hard for a trophy. Yeah. So I did that, tried it out. I just did the first level though.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought medium was very well balanced. I actually think the game felt kind of easy on that difficulty. So maybe I should have bumped it up. But I don't know. I wasn't really looking for a lot of resistance.
Yeah.
I was just trying to kick ass, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I did the same. I didn't feel like I was really in like trouble of like getting killed until like halfway through the game. And, you know, that's when like threats started to really come up. What about you, Josh?
I also played on normal. I didn't really bounce to the other difficulties similar to Colin until I had to for trophies. I mean, we're on a trophy hunting show. I went for platinum. I liked reasoning through. There were some parts I think I may have died or once or twice, but
yeah,
it really wasn't a ton. I almost wish I bumped it up a tad more after going for the trophies and doing the modes where they say like, hey, there's a one trophy for beating a level, I think, without dying on hard mode.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it may have been like the ultra hard, the hardest difficulty. And then there was another one for beating a level 100% on hard mode. I thought when I did the hard difficulty there for that one trophy, it felt like perfect. And then I was kind of a little upset with myself because I was thinking like, man, I should have just stayed at that difficulty. That means we're a little bit more challenging. I still didn't feel like I was getting overwhelmed with like damage. It felt a bit more balanced than what normal felt like.
Yeah. And then after I finished the game, I turned it down to like ultra easy just to run around and collect stuff and not be bothered by things. The ultra hard one was a really fun challenge too. And then like some of those other challenges were cool, where like you had to get through a level without killing anything. And that was actually really hard to figure out. Cause
it was, like, and you kind of need the upgrades to do it. You can't really like try to do it in the beginning either. You'll just get wrecked. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. And then you can also like figure out how to do it in under like 30 seconds too, which is amazing to do like and see, because these levels are supposed to take like minimum of what, 5 minutes if you actually play them. But there are ways you can break things with those upgrades and like jump across massive gaps and then like make it to the exit that you were supposed to extend a bridge for or something. So, you know, really cool ways to like break the game in a sense. And just like the old Doom, you know, it was like waiting for you to kind of cheat it.
It did feel that way. Yeah. In more ways than one, it pays a lot of respect to the older Dooms.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great place to draw inspiration from. I did play the old Dooms on Ultra Violence, now that I think about it. You know how there, it wasn't the nightmare one where enemies just kept respawning, and I think that's such a stupid idea. But the one right below that is cool, you know, because it's like, all right, it's like heroic for Halo, for example. Yeah.
You know, speaking of games with good stories like Halo, we should we touched on the idea of the story here, and really, like, the story is so basic and simple. Like, I imagine that, like, the story that you'd get from this game is just what you'd read on the back of the box as you were riding home in your parents' car. That's it.
There's probably more on that, honestly. Like, I think I would have gotten more from reading the back of the box, or, God forbid, an actual, you know, manual that used to come with older games.
Yeah.
I would love to hear your guys' take on what the story was. Because, honestly, I read the things. You know, there is an attempt in the game to be telling you something, but I was like, what?
There are like one sentence files that give like a description of what is happening in that level, and that's pretty much it. And even after I finished the game, I wasn't really sure what the story was. Josh, did you have any idea of what the story was throughout the game?
No, absolutely not. I felt horrible that I had picked Proteus to play. Well, actually, I blame Colin because I threw out a couple game recommendations.
What? And no, Colin, don't be coming at me, dude.
Proteus.
No.
Because I didn't know how much we were going to dive into story. So after I beat the game, I'm like, shoot, what are we going to talk about on the podcast? Like, you shoot aliens and
no,
awesome. That's
great. You still picked a good one. You picked a good one. It's just that there's not much of a story to discuss here. No, so, you know, we're going to talk about other stuff. But, like,
exactly.
I didn't get that like a sense of what the story was at all throughout this.
Can I read the plot for the people listening right
yes,
now?
Yes, please do. Like, where are you reading it from?
I'm so freaking curious about what this says.
This is from Wikipedia.
Okay.
I promise you don't have to worry about spoilers or anything with this game, because this is going to make no sense to you. Plot. The player assumes control of a corrupted agent of Proteus, the mysterious creator of the player in the game world. The only goal is to destroy Proteus and anything that gets in the way. What does that mean?
What is Proteus?
Like, I thought we were a Doom Marine or something. What are you talking about? Creation.
So
I thought the Proteus were the blue guys.
So not even Wikipedia can give you a really good answer. I did find one off of another website that was just, I think it was like some other like gaming website, but I'll read the paragraph that they just give, and that's it. So the premise of the game is that mankind is at war with both the monsters of the Chaos Dimension and the powerful Proteus AI that created the world of mortals. You are the vessel, someone who has decided to fight against both forces and kick them out. Problem is, the vessel starts the game pulling a move that balances power too far in the favor of Chaos, so they need to try and fix their mistake via shoot and bang and some punch. So...
Where did you find that?
This is off of a website called Hardcore Gaming 101.net, and I think it's just like some guy's blog or a website for a couple of people that they put together, but like that at least gave me a better idea of what I was doing, because just like you, I went to Wikipedia after this and was like, okay, well, what is the plot again? I wanted to do that for my notes so I could be informed for the show that I was going to put together, damn it. And
right.
No, like I still, even after Wikipedia, I was like, I don't know, like something is happening. But yes, like that is the idea that you are some sort of super soldier that has been hired by this entity or like this company to kill this other dimensional like race of aliens. And then you end up fighting the same troops that you were allied with, I guess. But there are also monsters on the side of the war as well. So like there's two distinct colors of enemies that you fight. There's ones that have red energy or red power, whatever. And then there's the blue ones that have blue energy, blue electricity, and they're covered in like blue, glowing blue skin or goo. And then every once in a while they both show up and you can make them fight each other. But
yeah,
it's still like it by the end, it didn't make sense to me. Like, why are there soldiers here and why are there demons that are allied with them? This is really odd. You know, one of them is going to shoot me. The other's going to throw fireballs at me.
I knew there were two factions, right? I gathered that much. And then I knew it's like, okay, we're opening portals and we're going to different dimensions. We're going to go to the Proteus dimension. Then yeah. We're coming back. Right. I heard the word chaos. I took it as like the chaos ones were like hell minions. They're the equivalent of like doom demons.
Yeah. Right. And then right.
Proteus, though, I did not read as AI. So that's interesting that that's the actual explanation. I just thought they were like electricity monsters, I guess, or something. I wasn't really quite sure, but AI is an interesting take. I did not get that.
And that's just the take that this one website had, because I tried to look for the plot on the official like fandom website for Proteus and couldn't find it. And the website for fandom.net started to crash every time I looked at the Proteus page. So I don't know. I don't know if that's even accurate with
they don't want us to know.
Yeah.
Director. I'm going to tweet at this guy right here. What's this director's name? Michael Voller. Where is this fool?
But anyway, like story aside, you know, that doesn't really matter with this kind of game because,
no.
You know, what was the story with Doom? Who cares? And, you know, any other like shooter of that era, you know, really what mattered was the gameplay, fighting demons, shooting stuff. I want to know, what are your guys's favorite weapons? Do you have any that really come to mind? Colin, how about
Josh.
You?
Josh. Oh man. Okay. Well, here I'm gonna tell you. I know one.
Who wants to be put on the spot first? Really?
Maybe I don't want to steal a ton of them from folks, but I'll say the one that definitely stood out the most to me is the Mammoth. I think it's called. It's the last thing you can buy in the shop.
Yeah.
No. It's the last thing you can buy in the shop. It's the tier 4. It looks kind of like a pistol, like a flintlock pistol.
Yeah.
But it has like a it screams like an alien scream every time you shoot it.
It's
and when you shoot it like 3 in a row, it like changes pitch when you're hitting them. It's so cool, and it does a ton of damage.
It has the sound of like a falcon scream, like it screams like it's a bird that's attacking, and I think it's the equivalent of like their Magnum, and
I think so too.
It has like a six shooter kind of like reload animation, and like it. It does a lot of damage with just one shot. And then you could also just unload like an entire clip at one shot too. But it is really cool.
Yeah, that one, you don't get it till later in the game. But I think the thing is, a lot of games would balance their Magnum in a way that they give you not that much ammo. Later in the game, you have so much ammo for this thing. It's like, why would I ever not use this gun? You know, like it's going to 2-shot or 3-shot every enemy that I see. It's pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, yeah, I don't want to steal everyone's thunder. So yeah,
don't worry about it though. By the way, I got like 5 favorite weapons. So you took one away. That's fine. Who cares?
Okay.
Yeah, it's so hard. I think they were all really fun to play, and they all had their own use. Because I also I'm looking at the list. I'm like, oh, it was this one. No, actually, it was this one. I think if I had to pick the most reliable one that I use more than anything else, it would probably be the plasma rifle.
Oh, good choice. Yeah.
Great shout out.
I don't think it was my favorite gun design or even my favorite way to kill, but it was extremely effective and I used it way more than any other gun.
Me too.
I had to pick something with actual ballistics that are not energy ballistics, it probably would have been that final upgraded auto shotgun. I really like that.
Ooh.
Yeah, the super shotgun or the auto shotgun,
whatever, like the third.
It's the auto shotgun.
It's the auto shotgun. Because that one it looks and feels like an assault rifle, but it just shoots shotgun shells one after another.
it's pretty nuts. Yeah, the recoil on it's crazy, but it is a really strong gun too.
And then you know, the plasma rifle has a great alternate fire where it's pretty much the bullseye from the Resistance series, where you just tag an enemy and then the bullets just follow that enemy, so you don't have to worry about aiming. I loved that one.
I don't think I ever used that.
Oh, really?
To be honest with you, and I use that gun a lot. I don't think I ever used its alternate fire because it shoots so fast. I was like,
yeah,
it just cleans house. I don't even really need to worry about anything.
One that I loved was the Super Shotgun, where you have to buy it is like the, I think it's the tier 3 upgrade, but you know, you start off with a regular shotgun that just shoots like, you know, one shell at a time. Then you can get a double barrel shotgun, I think. Or
yeah.
No, like this is the shotgun upgrade that you get. This is the next one up. And it's not double barreled, it's quad barreled. And yeah, you can just shoot off all four shells at once, and it will liquefy whatever it is that you aim at if you're close enough. And by the way, this game sounds so wet. Like everything in this game sounds wet whenever you do something and you kill some points.
You're sloshing around in there, dude.
Yeah.
You're pumping into blood puddles as you run around. It's disgusting.
But no matter how dangerous the enemy was and how close to death I was, if I had the super shotgun out and I knew that my shells were full, I would try to rush that enemy and get as close as possible to it to just unload the entire all four shells into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it felt so good to just do. Other ones that we haven't mentioned were the rocket launcher. It felt so good to just fire
love
off
the reload animation on that thing. The single shot one, right? Or it like cocks it to the side. It's like, shh. Yeah, it's super strong.
Yeah.
As well.
And then like the upgrade to that was the swarmer, where it still technically uses one rocket in quotations, but it fires off up to six different shots that swarm and like track whatever enemies you've tagged with it. So that one felt really overpowered, and I started to just run around the level with that, and I wouldn't even aim. I would just like target and then fire, target, fire. And before I knew it, I was out of rockets, but oh well, like the room was cleared. So
yeah. They do a good job of giving you ammo for almost everything too.
Yeah.
I would say that's something the game does really well, is like you're kind of encouraged to use all the weapons and it doesn't punish you for doing it.
No.
Whereas some of those games, it would have. Like in Doom, the reason you don't remember using the plasma rifle constantly in Doom is because they don't give you that much ammo for it, or the BFG or whatever, right? Yeah, you're pretty much just using the shotgun in Doom, or the super shotgun.
The funny thing is that like I felt like I was running out of ammo just enough to force myself to switch weapons. And then that would like force me to experiment with stuff and like discover different strategies and things I liked about the different weapons, like the plasma rifle's alternate fire where you can tag an enemy. So, you know, it does kind of like force you out of a comfort zone, because I started to rely on the super shotgun a lot. And then when I'd run out of those shells, I'd be like, well, got to switch something. And then I discovered how much I loved the plasma rifle and be like, okay, well, this is my new favorite weapon. I got to go like run around with this one now. One that we didn't mention that I thought was a cool idea, but the arc rail was kind of supposed to be like their sniper rifle. However, it doesn't zoom in at all. And so you just kind of have to like rely on the auto aim, which is very forgiving and very helpful.
Strong auto aim in this game.
Yeah.
I turned it off. I gotta be honest. I always turn off auto aim in FPSs, because like I feel like it fucks you over so much.
Yeah.
This is one of the strongest auto aims I've seen in the game. And there was a lot of times where I'm like, oh, there's still an enemy in the area, because my cursor, crosshair is like tracking to the right.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was a slider, I think. It wasn't just like an on-off toggle. So maybe, I don't know if I turned it all the way up. I definitely turned it down a lot, because I agree with you guys. It was really strong.
The like, default. Whoa. Yeah, the default setting for the auto aim is really strong. So I definitely noticed it, to a point where it's kind of like, oh, like I got the general idea of where the enemy is when I'm using the arc rifle, but I'll just let it aim for me. So that's
a cool gun, though. Yeah. The normal fire, even, right? Because it arced between enemies. So if there's a big group, you could just, but I kept always going like, well, why wouldn't I just shoot one rocket or one grenade launcher around?
Yeah.
It's basically the same, you know, it's much faster or whatever.
Yeah.
So it didn't really have a good use case, but it was a cool gun.
That I did notice that, I stopped using the pistol as soon as I got something that I liked beyond that. So the pistol was pretty useless. And then it was funny that in the second level, out of like 30 levels, in the second level, they give you the minigun. And you're just like, well, okay, this is what I'm running around with now. Like, this is a chapter 5 level kind of gun in other games. And they give it to you in the second stage. I was kind of shocked at that.
Yeah, I knew that game was going to be good.
Exactly what I was going to say. Like, that's when I knew, oh, shit, like, we're going to get some good weapons. Because you also open up the small complaint. There's no weapon wheel. Okay, I understand why it's not, you know, it's a grid. It's kind of shit, though. And then also, like, it does this thing where you have to, the D-pad would let you quick swap between weapons, but it never felt consistent.
Yeah.
I was like, is it switching to the last weapon that I had equipped? Or is it switching to the that one's position in the grid? Like, and sometimes I felt like it was doing different things. It like the game was crying out for, I think, just like a button that just went to your last weapon consistently. And maybe that's there, but I found that was kind of annoying. I had to pull up the gun menu more than I wanted to.
Yeah, yeah, me too. And it would have been great. Like, I should have investigated it further, but I'm guessing there's a way to like set your favorites to the hotkeys on the D-pad, but like I just didn't bother because I kept switching guns and I would use such a big variety of them that it was like, you know what, I'm gonna use all these. Have any favorite campaign levels that come to mind? Josh, how about you?
I'm not gonna know the name.
Okay,
I can try. That's
fine.
Yeah. Hold up.
There was a level mid to late game where you had to go, there was a big outdoor section and there was a lot of like almost little like cabins.
It was like the Wild West downtown,
yeah,
kind of, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I think the game actually gave you like an objective in that game, which was a little bit different than just kill everything and move on. I think you had to go to like three of these different houses and take down these shield generators.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Working with what you remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what level I'm talking about?
I do. Like, I know what you're talking about, but I can't. I'm looking at the list of the names. None of them is like jumping out to me. I feel like it missed maybe level 14 called Marksman.
No. That one actually, like, I distinctly like made a note of that one, but it is later than Marksman in that's the same level where you have when you throw a switch, there is like this giant minecart that transports itself from one part of the level to the next and it will bowl through enemies and just liquefy them. But
that's right. Okay.
You know, you have to like in a sense, like you're not escorting this cart, but when you progress through the level, it automatically moves when you hit a switch. And so you kind of follow this giant piece of equipment as it travels through the level. And new enemies spawn, and then it continues. And, you know, you kind of have to avoid getting hit by it. But you follow it through this like settlement area that also has some of those shield generators that you have to destroy. Or, like, just throw a switch. And then like it like progresses.
Sure. Okay.
But yeah, I remember that one specifically pretty well. Colin, what about you?
I think the later levels in the game are a lot stronger than the early levels. Overall my feel with this game, Josh knows because I was talking to him a little bit about it, where I wasn't too hot on it when I first started playing it, which is kind of surprising because I love this genre of game, specifically boomer shooters.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, like something is just like, it's not clicking or whatever. And then as the game progressed, once you go through the warp, especially, and you get to like go to the Proteus levels, I think those are really, really fun and inventive. And they start to introduce some cool mechanics, and they also just let you run free a little more with, you guys know those like squares or tiles that were on the ground in the later levels that just refilled your ammo by standing on them.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, thank you. Just let me kill shit. You know, and the game gets to that point eventually. Yeah. The one that I for sure remember is actually basically the last level. It's called Gate to Chaos.
Yeah.
Level 27. Because that level, it's basically like exploring and going through a giant cathedral or castle. It looked very Quake-like, as opposed to all the other designs, which were more Doom, or the Proteus levels were even just something else entirely, which was cool. But
Yeah.
Yeah, Gate to Chaos felt like a Quake level.
Yeah.
And it was very linear too, which I liked.
That was the one where you had to ring this giant bell. Like you throw a switch and it like shoots this cannon that hits a bell and like opens up the portal in the floor.
I thought it was a church as well. Yeah. I wasn't sure, but I thought it was a church.
Yeah. Does that one also have like the giant maze that you can run through as well? Yeah, that one was very memorable. I liked that one. One of my favorites that you mentioned earlier was Marksman, and that one was like this giant curved dam-like structure that then had a tower up in the corner, and there were a bunch of snipers that would sit in this tower that had shields on it, and then they would shoot at you, and you would have to not only run around and kill stuff, but also just keep in mind like where your positioning was in terms of cover to keep those snipers from shooting you. And that was a really cool wrinkle on just like this simple idea of, you know, shoot stuff. You really have to just keep in mind like, okay, where am I and how do I, but there were other moments where like you have to like figure out how to get from cover to cover really fast and you know, or just take a hit from the snipers, and they do a lot of damage.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
they really do. But that's a great call. I forgot the name of that level, but that one is fun because it's the only level that really asks you to do that in that way. And it's really at its best when they throw a clump of enemies at you and you have to think about cover in a different way.
Yeah.
So it's a ton of fun.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I think it was that, like that level itself just had like this other kind of ambiance that the rest of the game didn't quite have up until then. And it was probably like the kind of like the nighttime setting that still had the glow in the sky and the kind of like synth metal soundtrack that just happened to be playing during the level. And I was like, man, this really has me in the mood to go boot up Far Cry Blood Dragon. And it was one that I really loved. So I wrote that one down as like, this one's one of my favorites.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly the skyboxes deserve a shout out in this game.
Yeah.
I think. There's one in particular that's like you're basically in the orbit of a giant gas giant planet.
Yeah.
It's like bluish color almost. And it's really, really sick.
Yeah.
So they do a good job at that.
And yeah, that's right. Like there is a mention in the like one of the files that you find that this is like happening on some asteroid and it's not actually on like a planet. So
that's true.
Like
I forgot about that.
That never came up during the like the analysis of the story, but like that's what is happening somehow. Like the forces are fighting over this asteroid that matters for some reason. Josh,
that's a great point. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's right. I found the level. It was a level 18 Corruption.
Okay. Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
I think why I liked it so much, and hearing you guys kind of describe your levels, now that I'm seeing this, I can describe it a little bit more. Is a lot of the game up to this point, you're in these either dark dungeons or darker areas. There's really not a ton of levels with the sun.
And yeah.
In this level in particular, there may be one or two more prior to this where it's kind of sunny outside, but you're inside a lot. You're going through dungeons a lot. This game, I remember being it for some reason, it stuck out more than the others where it's like you're fighting. And then you're just like in this big open canyon and the sun is shining and there's all these like I said before, you kind of have these like buildings that enemies are shooting you out of the buildings, like through the windows. And there's a lot of verticality, which a lot of the levels have the verticality. But in this one, I like that, like if I wanted to go into a building, I could like jump up around the canyon and then like come in over the roof and drop through a hole in the top of the building if I wanted to. Or I could just go guns blazing and jump through, you know, blast my way through the front door with through the window. So. I really liked the objectives in this level. There was a lot of ways you could approach it. I mean, at the end of the day, you're really just shooting everything, but this level just felt a bit more varied than what we had kind of seen up to this point.
Oh yeah.
Totally did.
Yeah.
At least for me.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. And then, I totally get that too, because I remember, playing that level and you get to that point where you come out of the refinery. And I kind of said to myself, oh, sunlight. Wow.
Yeah.
There was another one that I thought like, oh, this is interesting. And that level was Memoriam, where it is just one big open arena that spawns enemies, and then like this is like what kind of gives it away as a Kickstarter game, if you didn't know it. But the walls of this arena have all the names of their backers that's why it's called Memoriam. I thought it was a really nice way to include all the names for anyone that supported the game when they were developing it. And it just felt like a really cool nonlinear level where you just go into the room, hit a switch, and you have to survive a couple of waves of enemies. And there are tons of them. And, you know, you just have to, you know, run around the arena and find whatever ammo you can pick up and keep shooting it. That was the one that I said, like, okay, well, I want to go for that like super hard trophy. And like, I think this is the one that can do it. And that one took a few tries, but it was a great challenge.
Awesome. I think the layout of the levels is pretty good as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe some like super, I mean, Colin, you're the boomer shooter professional here. I don't know if you would think these are too linear, but I know one of my frustrations with these old school shooters is they almost get too maze-like towards the end, where I'm running around, everything looks exactly the same. I have a blue key, but I can't remember where the hell the blue door is, and I'm lost. And in this game, I never really felt like, I don't know, I never felt like that. They did a good job letting the world feel open, but also kind of like guiding you in the right direction. Like there was a good layout in a way that just kind of like shepherded you from beginning a stage to end a stage, while also giving you some ability to explore. It wasn't fully open, but it also wasn't fully linear. Does that make sense?
It totally does. It has like, there's certain things where it constricts and it's like, you're going to go down this hallway and you're going to go left. You have to do it this way. And then they get to an area. It's like, well, there's enemies here, here, here. And there's a couple paths through this big area. So you can go whatever way you want. You're going to have to kill everything anyway. So you get like a little bit more variety. And the secrets were well done, I think. Like there weren't so many of them that it was annoying. But also they were pretty consistent about where they were going to be and how you found some of them. Like basically the handprints that you saw around the map, usually those were on doors that you could open and they were lit up. But if you saw one that wasn't lit up, you knew you could still interact with it. They kind of taught you that. And that was almost always a secret.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So like, I do think it was pretty well done. And the game is at its best when it's very straightforward and like just go this way, in my opinion. And the arena fights you guys talked about, the last level in the game is called Nexus Distortion.
Yeah.
That you just, it's just a giant, or not even, sorry, it's an arena fight. But the point that they do is like throughout the game, they teach you to do these arena fights and then they just get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And eventually you get to the point where like, okay, we're going to make you do this arena fight and you got almost no room to maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
and,
how's your
and nothing to hide behind looking? Too. Like there's nothing to hide behind. Yeah. But like,
so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then like, I agree with you about like some of those levels, like you can't, it's really hard to get lost in this game. And the only time that I did was in that first, I think it's the first Proteus level where, it's everything's like dark and either black and blue, all of the walls, they all look the same. And, then when you hit a switch, the sand in the floor decreases and the level opens up even more because it's it's conical shaped and the level gets wider and wider as you go down. And then like, it still all looks the same. It's all just, you know, like this weird alien structure and it's really hard to navigate in there. And that was the one time where I would spend like 2 or 3 minutes, just like, I don't know where I'm going. And was I down that way before? No, well, I'm not sure. And then when you'd hit a point, they would teleport you back up to the top. And then you just like jump really far down and hit another switch to decrease the sand level even lower. And the game gets wider and wider. So
yeah, that was a long level too. Like that was like a weird mechanic that I didn't really love. And that was a long level. So that was kind of like, that's the thing. There are some levels in this game that I do think are kind of misses. In general, I would argue the game could lose probably 7 levels and be perfectly fine.
Especially those earlier levels where like I felt like it just kind of kept going and going and going. And the best stuff is later in the game. So And like the other kinds of levels we haven't talked about are those trial levels where you have to run through and like shoot a bunch of targets before you get to the end. And if you do it in under a minute, you get the prize, which is a bunch of ore that lets you buy more weapons. Colin, I saw you roll your eyes.
Me and the grenade launcher trial have some words to exchange. I really did not enjoy that one. Oh, I love the weapon. Some of them were fun, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
But when I realized it was going to be this thing of like, oh, we're going to do this for like a lot of the weapons, huh? I'm like, I just don't really care. Like, it doesn't really add that much, you know, but they are fun little speedrunning kind of challenges, which I guess to that point, that was cool about it. I guess I was just annoyed because I was trying to get 100% for the platinum. So if I take that out of context and just play them as the levels, they're pretty good.
Yeah. Although, like, you don't have to get all of the ore in the trials to get 100%. You just have to find the secrets, that's all. But, like,
exactly.
I agree with you that, like, some of them just feel damn near impossible. Like, the grenade launcher one. The ones for the double machine guns that you dual wield. Those two levels, I couldn't do. But, like, the shotgun one and the rockets one felt really good because I felt like I was progressively getting better and better at those. And within, I don't know, maybe 10 tries, I could do it. I just had to figure out, you know, what do I shoot? And I admit I was relying on auto aim for the shotgun one, at least. And that did make it easier, but still, like, you have to like master the running and the gunning at the same time. And then the jumping and the double jumping and like a couple of shortcuts.
Dash. Yeah. And all that stuff. I can't believe you like those levels, Josh, when you didn't know about auto sprint, because I feel like if you're not auto sprinting, those levels are damn near impossible.
Yeah.
Skill issue.
No, he got us. I got him done. It's not like I didn't do it. Okay. It's just, I thought that they were a little unnecessary. Maybe
I'm talking smack. I think so. I didn't really have an issue with the ore collecting. I actually didn't even realize those levels were giving me ore until I think it was the rocket launcher or grenade launcher challenge. And then I was like, oh shoot, I like these are actually worth kind of speed running. I was just playing them like a normal level.
Right.
I thought they were just teaching me how to use the weapon. And then I don't remember having an issue with the grenade launcher one.
It's a really short one, but it's like there's a lot of, I found there to be a lot of variance in when that thing would explode. Maybe I just wasn't using it right.
Ultimate fire.
Yeah.
The sticky I was, but it sometimes it would stick on something and it just wouldn't blow up for a few seconds. Like three or four seconds.
You have to release the trigger.
Let go of the trigger.
Yeah.
Oh.
It literally teaches you how to use it.
I thought it was like, just like, it's going to blow up. It's just oh my gosh. Wow. I thought it was a timed thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So the sticky grenade, real quick tutorial. I know you're never going back to it, but you like hold L2, fire with R2. When you want the grenade to go off, you let go of L2. It goes boom, boom.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense. Okay. Yeah.
So that makes it a lot easier and less of a random.
That makes a lot more sense. Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of the grenade launcher, I did like those puzzles where you'd have to like shoot a grenade up into a vent to have it drop down on something on a switch. Those were cool. Those had me waste a few grenades just to try and aim right. But
I was really scared they were going to be more common than they were.
Yeah.
Though, like when they first introduced that mechanic, I was like, oh god, all the secrets are going to be like this. Now I got to start looking for like little chutes or little openings in the wall geometry and stuff like that. But luckily, they don't use it at none.
And usually, the secrets that you want to look for, like the secrets that those are used, the reward is behind glass. And so you have to, like, you probably have seen the reward and you just have to look up above it to know, like, oh, I got to drop a grenade in there. So we were dancing around levels, talking about those, the trial levels and stuff. But I did mention that there are tools for you to make your own levels. Did you guys play any really good community made levels?
Well, if you define good as helping me get trophies, then yeah, because that is when we first started playing the game and like I posted like, all right, well, I got the 10,000 kills trophy done or whatever. You were like, oh, you must be a few levels beyond me. I was like, I'm on level like 2. I just did I grinded these out. I grinded these out in the community levels so that when I was playing through the game, all I had to worry about was just playing it and 100%ing the levels, you know, and not think about it stuff other than that.
I can't imagine how long you sat there and grinded out.
It was 2 hours.
So for me, by the time I got to the end of the game, I saved that for the very last trophy.
Me too.
And I only had to do that for maybe 5 to 10 minutes.
Oh yeah, I sat there for maybe it was an hour 45, but it was a long time. Just and I just had a podcast on and just you know I don't know.
No.
But those are the ones that I played. There was ones like specifically to kill stealthed enemies or shielded enemies or ways to get a bunch of multi-kills really fast. I really only tinkered with those. I didn't mess with a lot of the other fan-created content.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Josh?
I'm sorry. I also did not mess with any of the fan-created
content. Hey,
I was skimming through the levels. I never opened any of them up. I meant to. I actually still have the game installed because I wanted to go back and just kind of see what they were about, if they were any good or not. Because I did notice there was a ton of like filter options, which I thought was awesome to see in a game that offers like fan created content. Because I know, like you kind of brought up earlier, it can be hard to like sift through all the stuff to find the good stuff. And within those filters, I really appreciate that you find like developer recommended ones, or like they must have ran some type of competition because there was a filter for like, you know, pick the maps that have, you know, garnered this award or whatever. Or this, I don't know, this contest award winner maps. So I don't know. There's obviously good maps there. Obviously, the developers took time to kind of curate some list as well, so you can play good, solid levels outside of the campaign.
Yeah.
So.
That there were a few that I found that, you know, they're not necessarily good levels, but they were like, oh, like I can tell that someone really put some thought into this. Like, first of all, someone remade Doom Episode 1, Mission 1, and it's a perfect recreation. It is spot on. And it just feels really good to run through as Proteus, like running through this, like in your Proteus costume with just better weapons. So I loved that. And then somebody else tried to recreate the Microsoft Maze from the 90s, the screensaver. If you remember like seeing that. So I started playing that level and I thought this is awesome. And then I picked up one of the keys that is supposed to be used to unlock a door, but the key itself flips you upside down, just like it did in the Microsoft screensaver. And that was awesome. And then I picked up another key to like, you know, progress the level and open the door. And my character just fell through the floor when it was trying to flip back over, and just fell all the way outside of the level geometry and like died after a few seconds. So I could not actually complete the level, but I do really appreciate the effort that it like this person put out, because they tried to match the same textures that you remember from the maze, where it has like this brick like floor and walls and then like the gray sand ceiling. So I really liked that one. And then another one, it was just a small room and somebody filled this room with a bunch of explosive barrels and was like, you know, there's no exit. You just got to shoot one of the barrels. And it's almost like that everything explodes at once and it's almost like the game crashes and you just have to reboot the level and that's it.
What the hell?
Somebody was just having fun. Yes, I did do that cleanup trophy for like killing 10,000 enemies, and I found that one that just spawned zombies constantly, and I played that for about 5 minutes and got my 10,000 kills. So that was my last one too, and I just like did that for cleanup. So
you got to. I think the reason I did that is because I read in the guide that I looked at for this game that if you beat the campaign you would only have like 3,000 kills or something. So it was like, you're either going to have to play it a ton or just grind it out. So that's why I chose to do it in the beginning.
But yeah.
It is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a cool idea. Isn't there, or is there multiplayer, I should ask, in the traditional sense, like team deathmatch kind of thing?
There is, yeah. Yeah. I didn't jump into that either, but, you know,
that's kind of fun.
Yeah. maybe like a couple of days after I finished the game, I happened to see on YouTube there was a trailer for some DLC called The Elder Veil. Did either of you guys see that trailer at all?
Oh my God, I just can't escape it with the DLC these days. It's not like a, listen, it's gonna be great. I'm just saying, as a general philosophy in games, like, can we just chill out a little bit with the DLC? Not every game. Okay, anyway, no, I haven't seen the trailer.
I had no idea. I had no idea it was there until I saw this and I was like, what the hell? Oh my God. And it was announced like 10 months ago. Still, like, there's no date on it, so there's no telling when it's coming out. But the trailer makes it look even more like Doom Eternal. Like, there's a grappling hook in it. There's like a, like this cathedral kind of area that you're like flying through.
I'm in it now. It looks sick.
Yeah.
But okay, I'm gonna look it up too. Hold on a second. I mean, I'm sure it's gonna be fun. I'm just so like that. The reason I played Warhammer 40K Boltgun earlier this year is because the DLC came out. Right, it's like, so all these things are just, I'm trying to play, so there's so many games to play, dude. So many games to play.
Yeah,
Colin, you know what's gonna happen is they're gonna launch the DLC and it's gonna be one of those situations where like the week prior they pull this off of the service.
Oh,
like they're gonna pull this off of the service and then launch the DLC.
No.
And they're gonna get all of us people who played on the service to buy the game and buy the DLC.
Well, I have to admit to you, I did buy this game. So yeah. I already own it because I don't have extra, weirdly enough. Okay. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
No.
I know.
What are you doing here? This is a PlayStation Plus game club.
It's on the server, though.
There's no judgments. I've had people on here that didn't even have PlayStation. They would play their game on Switch, and that's fine.
That's how committed I am to the show, Kevin, that I bought this game. You know, I didn't even do it through the service. I went out and bought it all apart.
That is dedication right there. Yes.
That's exactly right. Yeah. This DLC looks sick, though. What does, in the heck?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there's,
Apple looks fun.
There's some really fun looking stuff there, so I'm kind of excited for that. As far as like the base game goes, and Jordan, when he was on the show, brought this up that like there's an interesting way to put this. I should ask both of you, who is Proteus for? Like, who should really try Proteus and who's going to love it?
That's a great question.
I think, man, I want to say if you're a millennial gamer, to me, this is like an amazing callback to the games I grew up playing as a 34-year-old.
Yeah.
Now, like, I grew up with Doom and Duke Nukem and Shadow Warrior. I probably should have grown up with these, by the way. I was like 8, 9, 10 when my grandpa first introduced me to Doom. And next thing, you know, that's all I played. I think if you're a fan of first-person shooters or looking to kind of, I don't know, we see it with our horror podcasts, where there's this slew of like, it's like an indie trend right now where they're almost doing like D-makes, where we're getting like modern games with classical looking graphics.
Yeah.
I think if you're a fan of like that new trend that we got kind of, I don't know, going right now in the gaming industry, this game's for you.
Oh, yeah.
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 I think if you like single player FPS games, just because I can't speak to the multiplayer, but I'm sure it's good. It's a really good single player FPS. It's light on the story. It's heavy on the like the fun. Boomer shooters are a genre that are really dear to me. Even just playing the OGs, right? I talked about playing Wolf 3D earlier this year. I think it's great in that sense. I could see if you're a Call of Duty style shooter enthusiast that you'd come to this and it might be a little bit lower than what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, like, I don't know. It's an interesting question. I'm curious what you think, Kevin, because I find that shooters are a harder thing to introduce non-gamers to.
They really are. But I think if you like shooters and you also skip cutscenes when you're playing them, this is a kind of game you're going to like. Because the story does not really have any sort of influence on the game itself. And if you're skipping the story in a game, sometimes you're going to like miss out on something that was kind of crucial to what you need to know to finish a level. And that's not the case here. You're going to want to run to the end and shoot everything you can along the way, throw a few switches, and you're not really trying to gather up some crucial information from what's happening in the level. you're just, you know, trying to find a way around and, you know, get to the end. And that's pretty much it. If you grew up playing kinds of games like Doom and Wolfenstein and like very simple games that, like we said earlier, didn't have a story, this is it. This is just, it's pure shooter. It's pure gameplay. Have some fun killing stuff. My wife, when I started playing this, I got up to do something and she's like, can you pause for a minute during your murder simulator? And it's like, oh yeah, whatever.
Yep. Yeah. I know. I see it with my wife when she comes in and she sees me playing stuff. If it's a first person shooter, like her eyes just kind of glaze over.
Yeah.
To be honest, like it's like, there's no way for her to follow.
Yeah.
You have to be playing those games. They're really hard to just watch.
So then right after I finished this, I did get in the mood to play Far Cry Blood Dragon. And I booted that one up because I miss playing that game. It's been like 10 years since I played it. So I started playing that and she just goes, is this the game that you're going to be talking about? And I was like, no, that was the other one. That this is just a different one.
Yeah, it's just another one where you're just shooting a bunch of stuff. don't worry about it.
Talking about other games, though, what are some other good throwback boomer shooters that are on PlayStation or just out there that people could play if they like this?
All right. You got to check out Doom 64 if you like this game.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Doom 64, from a visual aesthetic, is so similar to this game. It's crazy. Even the way that like the movement is a little faster than the animations, I think there's something going on there. It doesn't have the mobility. And that's the thing you have to caveat a lot of these things by saying is boomer shooters by design don't necessarily have crazy mobility or smooth mobility. So you have to wrap your mind around that. But if you can, I think that's a great one. Doom 64. Yeah. And I don't want to take all of them. So I'll also just say, I think Proteus is better than Bolt Gun. But if you prefer the aesthetic of Bolt Gun more, you might enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
More. Okay. If you're into the Warhammer universe and stuff, I think that there's a lot there. I'm new to that universe, so all of that was lost on me. And I think that Proteus plays better, but Warhammer Bolt Gun looks really cool as well. And that's a fun one.
Okay. Josh, how about you?
I mean, I'm not a big boomer shooter guy. I honestly want to get more into them. I'm going to throw out two. One I just finished. Let me start with the one. Doom 1 and Doom 2 just got re-released on the PS5.
Yeah.
If you owned, I believe, any of the previous Doom games, the PS4 version, you get the free PS5 version. I haven't played it yet, so I don't know if I can fully recommend it. I have played the classic Doom games. They're awesome. You can tell this game, Proteus, was inspired heavily by them. I do know if you're a trophy hunter like me and Colin, I'd say very easy, approachable trophy list now compared to the old trophy list for those games where it was very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, I don't know if I'd really call it a boomer shooter, but it's a very cool, unique shooting game. And I kind of got similar vibes, even though, well, it's Metal Hellsinger. Have you played that?
Oh, okay. So I've been eyeing that one to try out. Yeah.
So it plays almost like a boomer shooter, but you have to shoot to the rhythm of the music.
Mm-hmm.
To like chain, I don't know, to you're shooting to the rhythm of the music. You are reloading to the rhythm of the music. It takes everything you love about boomer shooters and really just kind of throws a rhythm game spin on it.
Yeah.
I bring it up because we talked about like the music in this game. Like, I'm just killing stuff. I don't care about the story. The music's rocking. That's what like Metal Hellsinger is.
Yeah.
And I just got the platinum on that as well. Really enjoyed it. Proteus really made me want to play Metal Hellsinger even more. So,
okay.
I it's not necessarily a boomer shooter, but I think it's a good shooter recommendation.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I've been eyeing that one, and particularly because our mutual friend Max has been asking me about that one, if we would talk about it at any point. And I might have him on the show at some point to talk about that, especially because they have a VR version that is coming out in October. So I'm really curious about that. I'm getting sick thinking about it.
Oh my gosh, wow. That's amazing. Before, because Kevin, I'm really curious what you think too, but before I forget, can I just add that the Doom 1 and Doom 2 new collection that came out is an awesome shout out because just like Quake and Quake 2 Remaster that released, it has an extra bonus episode that is brand new for this release and created by id, obviously, and then the ones for Quake were created by Machine Games, which is really cool. So yeah, there's like new content in there, and you get to see what, like, if the designers could make a level now with modern shooter sensibilities but still in the old engine, what does it look like? And that's pretty sweet.
And really, like, that's what Proteus feels like, where they just they took modern shooter sensibilities and just said, let's make some of the simple levels and do some interesting things with them. So gonna have to check that one out. And it's been like, I don't know, like 15 years since I've last played the first two Doom games. So one that was just like, it feels like a throwback shooter is, and we mentioned it a couple of times, was Doom Eternal and the Doom 2016 games. They feel like they are the perfect reincarnation of those early Doom games. Doom 3 was kind of like this more confined monster closet kind of game that didn't throw a lot of enemies at you at once, but like Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal are those. They feel like they're really fast, and they pretty much feel like Proteus just with a better coat of paint and you know, a little bit more technology in their weapon design. So there's that. Also, by the way, we didn't mention this. Did you guys ever look at some of the options in the Proteus, like, options menu? And there you can turn the filter off that changes all the character models to 3D. I did that.
I
for like
I didn't do that. Wow. Yeah.
So I did that and played it for like 30 seconds and said, why in the hell would anyone turn this off? And I turned the pixelated filter back on because that feels like it's the way it's meant to be played. It's meant to be seen that way. And, you know, I don't want to see these like 3D character models running around that I have to shoot. I want the old feeling pixelated guys to run up and throw fireballs at me. So, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Other like comfort food games that you just like return to over and over again, because Doom, I feel like, really is one of those comfort food games that I love.
Yeah, I agree. The original Doom I've played through many, many times. Mm-hmm. Well, not as much as I've played Halo, which is another answer I would give.
Okay.
But yeah, like probably five times or so. I think Wolfenstein 3D, honestly, is really underrated going and playing that now. It still holds up. Really fun. There's something kind of cozy about it and nostalgic. So that's a comfort food one. But Halo, I have to shout out.
Yeah.
As another shooter that's a comfort food, and you can just go back to it. Get the Master Chief Collection, for sure. If you have Game Pass, I know we're on PlayStation Plus, but if you have Game Pass, that comes with it. A great one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Josh, how about you?
A great shooter I love to play and come back to time and time again, Concord. amazing
too soon,
game.
Too soon.
I don't really know. I mean, Halo's a great...
Well, it doesn't have to be a shooter. It's just, you know, something that you love to play over and over. Yeah.
I mean, it can be anything.
Oh, yeah. Like, I play Super Metroid once a year. Or, that's like, cool. Cool. every Halloween, I would play one of the Dead Space games. Except for last year when I played Callisto Protocol. But,
Really got to get that game. Yeah. Really got to get the Callisto.
Man, you really put me on the spot here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like,
you play so many games.
We can come back to you, but yeah.
So I'm going to shout out. I haven't actually played it in a while, but I still think about it, and I still follow the community pretty closely through a couple streamers I watch. But Dead by Daylight is arguably one of my favorite like return to games.
Yeah.
I will leave for a couple seasons or a couple killers. Well, let me explain it first. It's a 1v4 asymmetric multiplayer game, and it's one killer versus four survivors. And the four survivors have to repair generators scattered around the map. And once they repair all the generators, gates to the arena open and they can escape. Mm-hmm. All the while, the killer is trying to kill them. And, you know, I really grew to love this game because at its core, it's very, very simple. And it, like, at its core, it's almost kind of like hide and seek and a little bit of an escape game there. But there's a ton of skill that goes into it that I learned watching streamers. And I mean, this game, I can't believe it's still going. It, like I said, I kind of dropped out. I used to play a ton. I have hundreds and hundreds of hours. And now I come back every, with the launch of every two or three killers. But if you're a fan of horror, this game has it all by this point.
Yeah.
They got Alien, they got Chucky, they got characters from Resident Evil. Nicolas Cage is in the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alan Wake. I'm kind of just skimming. There's a Dungeons and Dragons chapter, Tomb Raider, Castlevania just got announced. So like really they're it's almost going in the realm of Fortnite without being as like cheesy as Fortnite, where they're just collecting every cool horror related like IP and bringing it into this like one awesome, I think very fun multiplayer collection.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what's really kept it going for so long. It's because they keep adding in characters that you want to play as. And they just pretty much keep saying like, okay, well, what movie monster that chases people have we not included yet? And, you know, we'll just throw that in. So yeah, like you said, the alien from Aliens is in there. You know, Chucky's in there. The, like, they even somehow got Jigsaw in there, I think. And you be like,
how's that guy chasing you around? little tricycle, fucking chasing you around.
It's like, well, somebody,
it's a man. I don't know how much, how well you know the Saw movies, but it's the girl, her name's Amanda. She wears the,
okay.
She's just one of the killers in Saw, but like they could like throw in almost anybody from any horror movie in there. Like, I'm sure at some point you're going to see the monster from Barbarian in there at some point. And I don't know how they would do that, but they could, I'm sure, somehow do it.
Yeah, that would be scary.
Yeah.
Sure. That would freak me out.
Yeah. But anyway, like, we're coming up on the Halloween season. So, you know, you could check out other scary things to watch or read or play. Are there other things that you guys are watching, reading, or playing that you want to shout out right now?
Oh, great question. Love that. Twin Peaks, guys, watch it. Okay, I've shouted it out on my show with Josh that I do a couple times. It's so influential onto other media, and I don't think you realize that until you watch it. So it's fantastic. Shout that out. And I'm also playing Resident Evil 6 to get ready for spooky season, kind of, and kill time until Astrobot. But I think RE6 is underrated. I've come around to it on this recent playthrough. I'm really enjoying it, especially if you can play a co-op. So that's what I'm also watching and playing. One thing I'm reading the third book in the Dune trilogy, Children of Dune.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's been pretty cool. It's very, very heavy. It's kind of tough to follow sometimes, especially when you're tired, like reading before bed in the evenings. But I do think it's really solid. It's better than the second book, Dune Messiah, but not as good as the first.
So, yeah.
Okay. Take that as you will.
Josh, how about you?
Let's see. I am waiting to play Astrobot.
A couple of days. Yeah.
I think I can play it in an hour.
I can play it in an hour as well.
Oh, yeah.
I have it pre-downloaded, dude.
And I may sacrifice a little bit of sleep tonight to dive into that. But now Astrobot, I'm looking forward to. I think it's gonna be great. It's reviewing really well. When it comes to TV shows or stuff on the television, the NFL's back. Go Bills. I'm gonna be watching football every single Sunday. and then when it comes to actual TV shows, I just finished the latest season of The Boys. I absolutely love that show. I came into it very late. I was a big Marvel fan, still am a big Marvel fan, but I think they've kind of lost touch with creating a good superhero show. And when I started watching The Boys earlier this year, it felt like such a breath of fresh air when it comes to superhero stuff, and such a fun spin and take on how superhero media can be done. It's great when we're talking about Proteus, because it is very bloody and gory, and almost gory for the sake of being gory at times, but it's also very funny and interesting and kind of mirrors the real world in some aspects. So that would be my recommendation. The Boys on Amazon.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. My wife and I just got HBO for a month to watch a couple of things. And we started watching Hacks, and that has been just a fun thing to throw on. And then a couple of days ago, we just started watching The West Wing again. And
oh, cool.
Man, that writing is fantastic. So I love it. So, yeah. And the acting
it's
in there,
Sorkin,
like,
right?
Yeah, it's Aaron Sorkin. And
that's right. Okay.
So many like now famous people that were kind of famous when the show started. And now like they've all just become movie stars. And so it's really cool to see all of these people in there just act together. As for games, I've got just one recommendation, which is next month's game. And that's going to be Life is Strange True Colors. So going from like a non-story game to a story-heavy game that is just
to all
base story. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm literally halfway through that game.
Right, I saw you playing that the other night, Josh. That's funny. Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like a narrative game that like a couple of episodes ago we were talking about Little Hope, where you're playing through the story of a horror movie. This is not a horror movie, but it is just a drama that you like play as a teenager and go through some interesting sci-fi kind of story. So I'm really looking forward to this one. I've been eyeing it for about a year, and finally someone was like, hey, let's check this one out. So it gave me the incentive to try Life is Strange. So I'm pretty excited. But
Life is Strange is back. I think the new one comes out very soon.
It
too,
is,
right?
It is coming out next month, yes. And I think that was one of the motivators. So
yeah.
But if you want to be part of the show, you can write into PS Plus Game Club. This is just a reminder, write into psplusgameclub@gmail.com to share your thoughts about Life is Strange or recommend any future games for future episodes. You can also find me on Discord at the Portland Kevin, that's how you want to contact the show, or search for the PS Plus Game Club and you'll find the Discord. Colin, anything you'd like to shout out before we go? Where can people find you? Where can people find the shows you guys produce?
Sure. So you can find me on PSN or Xbox or Discord, but pretty much everywhere at CK Present. And then the shows that Josh and I do, you know, we have a SoundCloud, but we're on, then that gets distributed to, you know, Spotify and Google Podcasts and Podbean and everywhere. So those are Trophy Talk Podcasts and Surviving the Horror. Thanks very much for having me on the show this evening, sir. I had a great time.
Yeah, Appreciate it. Thanks for being here. Josh, how about you?
You can find me on PSN, Profiles, PlayStation Network, Twitter, Discord, everywhere at SluggerJD. Or if you're looking for me on the Xbox side of things, it's SluggerJDD.
Yeah, yeah. Got to have a like an extra extra D in there.
I couldn't get...
Couldn't get the OG.
I couldn't get the OG.
So close, yeah.
Loser.
Well, thank you. Thank you also for picking Proteus, because I was curious about it. But when you picked it, I was like, okay, well, that sends me over the edge. I got to check it out now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
good game.
Yeah.
The shows like this are great for that reason, in my opinion. Or I'm experiencing it with Colin on the horror show. Or Surviving the Horror, where it's like, I have interest in all these games, but being able to talk with you guys and talk with friends about the game really pushes me over the edge to actually play them and get to experience them. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate you guys doing the horror show too, because that gives me a chance to like, you know, check out games that I wasn't sure about. Like your last episode about Resident Evil, was it Operation Raccoon City? Remember watching a review of that and saying like, yeah, not for me, and brushing it off. But now I kind of want to go back and check it out.
Hey, if you end up going back and checking it out, bring a friend. That's what I was going to say. With co-op, I think it's very fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, thanks for being here. Anyone listening, thanks for listening. I hope you have a great day, and I hope you have fun playing around.
Later, guys.
Goodbye.